good morning. Welcome back to The Zing with Bob and Bob. We're going to be talking about grid stabilization and renewables, true synergistic purpose. Take a ride with us on the knowledge train. Woohoo! So, Bob, what are the state of renewables?
Well, right now, renewables are growing fast. They're still a small fraction of our total energy, but a lot of people look to renewables as a way to essentially get away from greenhouse gas emissions.
What would you consider a renewable?
Renewable, things like solar energy, photovoltaics, hot water heating, and windmills. The windmills producing electricity, and things like hydroelectric power. So hydroelectric power has been around a long time, but the big up-and-comers are essentially windmills, and then behind them and moving fast is solar energy. And right now, a lot of people are concerned that if you try to replace essentially all your power with renewable energy, it's going to be very unstable. The problem being that the wind doesn't blow all the time. In fact, you may go days to a month where you may not get sufficient wind capacity to essentially do much of anything. And solar energy is definitely happens once every 24 hours. So you say, okay, it comes up and down, but you can get a cloudy day and you don't get much. You can also have big clouds go over a big solar array. You'll get a big drop in the output. So you say, how are you going to sort of fill in the gap?
Okay, so that, yeah, because those are the Achilles heels of traditional, or the renewables. Now, what is the Achilles heel of traditional fossil fuel?
Oh, the Achilles heel of fossil fuels is it's not very economical if you can't run it almost all the time. So having your fossil fuel plant sit and wait for long periods of time mean you put a lot of money and capital into this plant, and if you can't run it frequently enough to pay off your investment, it's a very expensive source of energy. You've got a lot of stuff just waiting to go and nothing going on. It's an expensive thing. So one of the ideas is sort of blend the two together. And what we want to do, the secret sauce, is to produce negative greenhouse gas emission fuel. I mean, when you use this fuel, it has done the equivalent of removing a greenhouse gas from the atmosphere or sequestering the carbon dioxide from that fuel and say, we can supply renewable natural gas from biomass that would have been emitted. You say, this is negative greenhouse gas emissions. And you can say, it's guilt-free. Now we're taking out, in the overall budget, we're removing greenhouse gases from the atmosphere by capturing them from various sources like agricultural waste and just generally biomass that's there, remove it from the atmosphere, or even literally sequestering the carbon dioxide.
Typically, the Achilles heel we already use the Achilles heel as a terminology, but the one of the things that's kind of been holding back advancements, even with traditional power, has been the crumbling or very age-old transmission lines, correct?
Yes. Yes. It turns out, in particular, the United States, its infrastructure, some of it is close to 50 years old. I mean, we've got lots of electrical lines running across the country, and you might say, this is the weakness of our electrical, the weakness of our electrical grid was we are exposed to the weather. And they're exposed to the weather all the time. And as the weather gets more severe due to global warming, I mean, the thunderstorms are the main culprit. They are nice big thermal energy machines, you might say. They're not machines, but they are systems that depend on warm air down near the ground and cool atmosphere above. And if that temperature difference gets higher, you get more powerful thunderstorms. They produce lightning strikes, hail storms. You can have severe winter storms from this that can just take out those little wires and poles. Much of the electrical infrastructure are wooden poles and wires, and they age, they weaken, and the wind and weather can take them out. So long-term possibility is creating a system in which we have distributed power sources that can, we call island when they need to, and separate, so that you can have facilities that will run regardless of the damage to the electrical grid. They can keep running. So the idea is renewable energy has a nice feature, particularly solar. You can put it almost anywhere and generate electricity. Not quite the middle of Antarctica and the North Pole, but the rest of the planet is pretty good for solar energy. So the idea is that how do you integrate this all together to create a very dependable energy source, and one that essentially has minimum impact on the planet? If you figure out an electrical grid is a huge system, it takes a lot of land. And you say that actually is a pretty big impact. So the future possibility is having houses that run themselves, our buildings take care of themselves. The energy's there. We just haven't quite figured out how to make it economical and convenient enough to be the main way we run our cities and buildings and live our lives.
So biomass, how does this help?
Oh, well, a lot of people may not know it, that or realize it, that we have a large biomass, large supply of biomass in the United States and throughout the world. I've estimated, and through the Union of Concerned Scientists, the data has been put out there that how much biomass in the United States, and if we do rough calculations, what amount of that I can convert to biomethane, it turns out we could supply 10% of the U.S. current consumption of natural gas through conversion of biomass. Now, it turns out the United States produces a huge amount of natural gas. We export natural gas. And if you take the world and take the amount of biomass available in the world, this is leftovers from agriculture operations, forest scrap and food waste, and manure, turns out you could supply 50% of the world's current consumption of natural gas. But the idea is that it represents the ability to store energy in methane, and you've got a pipeline system in place in many places in the world. The United States in particular has a very good extensive natural gas pipeline system with storage capacity. So you can store that energy and use it when you need it. And we have some of the kind of natural gas generators that can run on this fuel and produce electricity. In some cases, you may have to put in a piston engine, or essentially internal combustion engine, that runs on demand and can follow the demand moving up and down. So the idea is that we could actually supply, probably in the future, most of what we need for long-term, essentially, stabilization of the electric grid, meaning not for hours, but days to months of stable power that can be delivered to stabilize the electric grid. A lot of people are concerned that we don't have enough battery capacity to do that. It gets more and more expensive the longer the period of the time you need to deliver from an electrochemical or battery system. So the simple, or the idea, is to say, why don't we go to something that we make something that we need for multiple industries? And that way, you're not sitting idle. I'm making a fuel that you can use for multiple purposes. That fuel can be used in generators, or it can be used to make chemicals or make fertilizer. It for agricultural operations, it's flexible. And we have the infrastructure already in place to store that, or essentially don't tap the wells. You've got methane underground waiting to come. Well, it's not waiting, it's there. And you can tap it as you need it. That means you can throttle back on tapping the geologic methane, and that represents a massive storage system available. And so you have the infrastructure. It can be solved.
Right, because that is a...
Well, in summary, the energy we need is actually right in front of us. It Turns out we have the biomass, we have the garbage available. We might say we just need to clean up our act. We've got make essentially integrate ourselves a little more with nature. I mean, let's just speed up the breakdown of our waste products, turn them into fuels. I say it's just connecting the pipes. We tend to practice an open agricultural system. Our energy systems are sort of open-ended. We let nature take care of half the job. Well, nature's struggling to take some of that away. So let's help it out and make our system more balanced, and I might say in tune with our surroundings. And fundamentally, we're going to change agriculture to save a lot of water and reduce the major impact of agriculture on our environment. And agriculture could be the key to removing much of the greenhouse impact of the world.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Zing with Bob and Bob from Tucumcari Bioenergy. If you have any questions for Bob, drop by our Facebook page and send us a message or send a voice message through the Anchor app. Thank you very much, and check our website out at TucumcariBioenergy.com. Thank you very much.